We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast, sponsored by WinBet. Clay Link here with Todd Zola of RotoWire and Masters Ball. Back with our two-start starter thing, grading out two-start starters. And, yeah, it's been a fun all-star break for me. Mostly just, you know, I stayed back from Vegas. So I was just at home and doing some football shows with Mario Puig on XM. He did all the heavy lifting, of course. I just teed up questions to him. And I'll be mostly doing that here with you, Todd. How are you?
I you know what? I won't lie. It's been a rough day. I went away to Cape Cod to catch some Cape Cod ball and had a pit stop on the way home and went back into my car and turned the key and click. Ugh. So the starter is gone. So my car is 100 miles away. I'm here. I will at some point, I don't want to say hopefully during the podcast, that would mean they call me early enough, but I mean, I shall be hearing soon enough, and the way it goes, it's weird. You go away to relax, and I come back, and I need to relax. So, yeah, I'm the only one that can go to the Cape for 3 or 4 days and come back paler than when I left. I didn't go out. You know, I mean, I stayed in and actually did some work. I did the two-start for the early, you know, the coming out of the break. And I went to the ball games at night. That was the reason I went. But, you know, I didn't – it's kind of cruddy weather too. But anyway, I'm actually fine. I mean, it's yeah. All right, so my car is gone, another few hundred dollars. So, you know, so I have, you know, have to work another year to before I can retire. You know, that's just – that was happening anyway. So it's all good.
Yeah, I'm sorry to hear that. It's never great to come back from break and be more stressed out than you were before you left. It's not the point of a break.
But if I had,
I appreciate your dedication. Still finding a way to do the pod today.
Oh, I mean, I'm back home, so I just don't have my regular microphone. So if it doesn't sound quite as good, hopefully it doesn't, you know, affect the my answers that much. No, so I have to use a different mic. It's I could have brought it back. I just forgot. But it's fine. I mean, we'll see what happens when I get the phone call. But it's a starter. You can't. A starter was going to go. I mean, I don't want to call it irony. I don't think it's irony. But I was going to stay and watch a game Thursday night last night. But you know what? I just want to go. You know, I caught 3 or 4 games. So just, you know, I'm just going to go home. A starter, you know, it's just going to go, right? You don't know exactly when. It could have gone in the parking lot of a Cape Cod high school, you know, at 10 at night last night. And then it really would have been in trouble. Mm-hmm. So if there's any good about it, at least, you know, whatever. And who knows? If I didn't have to make an emergency pit stop, then maybe it would have gone to my driveway. I don't know. But so it stuff happens.
Yeah, you got to look at the positives. Sometimes you have to squint to see them, but I hear you, man. And I'm glad you are with us today.
Speaking of which, two-start pitchers. No, I'm just...
Yeah.
There's a segue. Huh?
Well, I thought we'd talk about some pickups, some obvious names. Your Red Sox busy making some headlines during the All-Star break. They're going to be calling up Jaron Duran. Of course, the first game of the quote unquote second half was postponed yesterday due to COVID issues, and that's throwing a big wrench into everything this weekend. We'll just have to wait and see. But Duran will be up to join the Red Sox. They'll also be bringing up Tanner Houck. We can talk about Houck in a second. But Duran, really interesting given the power speed combination, 15 homers, 12 bags at AAA Worcester, 15 attempts. So nice success rate on the bases. He hadn't really shown a ton of power before. Looks like he'd maxed out at like 5 homers in a minor league season previously, but priority add, obviously. And I think this may be one where you want to open up and maybe not like a final all in, but I think he's maybe among the last players to come up who could really make an impact for your fantasy team and move the needle.
Or not, right? I mean,
well, that's very true.
What if he goes Jared Kelenic on us and his second chance is opening day next year, right? I mean, we don't know these. We don't know. That's just the point. Or he could hit the ground running and, you know, hitting and everything else and be fine. Just keep in mind there's been some good things and some bad things with the rookie so far this year. Trevor Larnach kind of figured it out. The pitchers have tended to struggle the first couple outings. Logan Gilbert, Alex Manoah, but then Alec Manoah, and then come back and are just cruising now. Well, not cruising, but pitching well. So it's interesting with the hitter. It sounds like through the tea leaves, the Red Sox are, I mean, this is pretty silly to say because it's kind of obvious, but they didn't call him up to sit. The Red Sox will find a place, center field, in Enrique Kike Hernandez and Christian Arroyo. We'll now battle it out for second base. Michael Chavez is probably the odd man out here, at least temporarily. Danny Santana's hurt. So that's, you know, at least temporary how they're going to line up. You know, he's going to be the center fielder, Jaron Duran. Whether he hits leadoff right away, I doubt. I think the Red Sox will have him down at the bottom of the order. But it's exciting. And kind of came out of nowhere. Not nowhere. He was a good prospect, but you mentioned the power. He reworked his swing over the pandemic. And he's added launch and he's being able to drive the ball. So he's one of those guys where if, you know, I happen to, you know, because I'm a local, read all the local stories, although anybody can read the stories nowadays, right? You don't have an advantage anymore. But you just have to decide, you just take his MLEs or do you give him a little bit of credit, you know, this year a little bit more because of the new swing, et cetera. You got to have to make that decision with almost everybody. But that's the deal with Duran. I've seen him a couple times, you know, you watch a couple games. He looks fine. I was actually the eye test. I like Jeter Downs a little more, just because very, very athletic. But hopefully we'll be talking about him soon enough. But big
ass. Did you see Duran at one of those Worcester games you went to?
I saw him hit a couple home runs. He was out first one at the Olympics in the first one. Then I saw him the last two. But he saw him hit lead off a game with a home run, and I think he hit a second home run later in the game. He doesn't hit the majestic, but he hits the line shot. So any left-handed batter, you need to find out, or the thing is going to be, how are they able to take advantage of the wall? You know, I think it's a little early in the development, right? You just get him settled, but that's going to be the key down the road. Is he able to flick it off the wall like so many good left-handed batters have been able to do in Fenway Park? The first series in Yankee Stadium, you just want to hit down the line, right? you just want to get a hold of one to that short porch. Knock on wood, they play.
Yeah, hopefully they play. That's a big question mark right now. And
I'm glad. Have you heard anything about that?
No, not today, no. Okay. So I'm still waiting on that. I mentioned with Kelenic, like, I'm done assuming a guy's just going to light it on fire right away. And I do want to specify, like, yeah, things could go in either direction for Duran, but maybe one of the last call-ups who really could help you in a major way. I mean, maybe there's a few others who could come up, but I think this may be the last wave of prospects. Would you rather have Duran or Brujan rest of the way? I know I'm kind of putting you on the spot.
Can I say if I need speed, Brujan, and if I need power and speed, Duran? That would be the answer. As far as picking these guys up, Duran may not have been picked up in an AL-only league. I mean, his name was known, but he may not have been that high in this prospect stash list. Mm-hmm. So if he's available in your AL only league and you're waiting for the deadline, but you don't have the hammer, I think then he is an all in, right? Or close to an all in. You know what I mean? You know, if you've got, you know, 50% of your budget and you're not gonna get a chance, and you're at this point, it's kind of like, well, I might as well just wait to see who gets traded over because we're so close to the deadline. You're not gonna get that guy. Durant at this point could be close to an all in. So that it's something to consider. I think a more interesting, it might not be logical in your league, or maybe it will. Say it's the NFBC and Kelenic was dropped, and they're both Kelenic and Durant are available this weekend. I think that's an interesting, which one do you go for?
Yeah, I think I'd lean Kelenic still, but it's not a slam dunk, as we know. And yeah, that's a good question. I ended up with quite a bit of Bruhan, surprisingly to me, last weekend in the NFBC. I got him for like 24 in TGFBI, and I think James and I got him for, I think I put like 70 in. But yeah, so I'm on Team Bruhan now that I got some exposure. But I do think, if you want a more well-rounded, well, more power to go with that speed, I think you're right that I'd probably lean Durant. Mentioned Tanner Houck, not a lot of success at either level, really. At Worcester, actually had a 5-1-4 year, even worse. Pretty small sample, and he was missing bats. 26 Ks and 21 innings at AAA. Any reason in mixed leagues to go out and add Tanner Houck? Or
no, not yet.
No, okay.
Not mixed. I'm not even sure. Yeah. I'm not even sure his role. All the Red Sox have said is he will have an important role in the second half, whether it's piggybacking with Garrett Richards or replacing Garrett Richards. Right now, we don't know. And to be honest, with this up in the air weekend, if the Red Sox have to play a bunch of doubleheaders, then that could change the role as well. But he's not a Logan Gilbert, Alec Manoah, even Daniel Lynch quality prospect, I don't think, but he is also kind of come up. And he's also, part of the reason is low numbers or poor numbers. You know, it's kind of, a lot of that was rehab. And that, you know, at this point he's done rehabbing, he's just playing pitching. But a lot of those numbers were occurring while he was still recovering from surgery.
Very good points. Yeah, I did see him picked up in the stake league. It was pretty light week, but Houck went for 4. I think with Kelenic, you know, I've mentioned, you know, baseball is such a hard game that I'm never going to make any assumptions about even these highly touted guys, because it is so hard to just at this level come in and dominate. We have seen it with the Cunhas and Chris Bryants and Albies and Tatises of the world, but I got maybe a little spoiled. I do think Kelenic follows kind of a similar path to Dylan Carlson last year, where he's good the rest of the way, but and I'm probably in the leagues where I have him, which is still quite a few, I'm plugging him in right away this weekend, see what happens. And I'm not gonna assume he's gonna be awesome right away, but I think he should be picked up and started pretty much everywhere.
Yeah, no, absolutely agree.
Very nice. Well, let me just name the other pickups before we get to two-star starters.
Yep.
Again, a pretty light week in the stake league. Chaz McCormick. When Chaz McCormick headlines your Fab week, you know, it's pretty mild coming out of the break.
Yeah, especially because there's nobody he's filling in for right now, is there?
I guess there's Brantley back, right? So
yeah.
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 I guess he was playing okay, though. So.
Oh, no, yeah, no, for sure.
Pretty.
But, yeah, the irony is he's now being picked up, and he's probably going to be losing playing time.
Yeah, isn't that how it mostly works in fantasy baseball? David Bednar, I think, was a nice pickup for 2. I think he has a good chance to close after they trade their closer there in Pittsburgh. Josiah Gray was picked up for 2. Zach Britton, Oscar Mercado, Darren Ruff, and Nick Senzel. So that's all the pickups for you.
Mercado's interesting. He's starting to play a little bit for Cleveland. They're still
Mercado. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He's an interesting pickup. You know, had a couple rough goes. Does he now figure it out? We'll see. And Cleveland is obviously looking to shore up the outfield. Framil Reyes is back helping out some. Zimmer, you know, not really doing it. So we'll see.
You know, I was hoping to plug Mike Trout back into my lineup in a few leagues today, but
not today.
Well, not today, but like soon, maybe as soon as next week, but still unclear as far as his rehab goes. So
I was kind of
getting anxious about getting him back in there.
I'm being concerned when my projections for Trout are fairly conservative. Anthony Rendon can come back tonight, but you know it's not quite the same. Trout, I wasn't counting on coming back right away.
Yeah, he's not eligible even, I think, till a few games into the second half.
But right, right.
Still not started his rehab, so we'll keep tabs on that. Before we get to our two-star pitcher grades for next week, let's first throw to a quick word from our sponsors.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
And now we're back on the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast, sponsored by WinBet. Clay Link here with Todd Zola. First show after the break. We're going to be grading next week's two-star starters. If you're unfamiliar, 0 to 5 scale. Todd kind of bases his, well, he does base his pretty strictly on his weekly pitcher rankings. I'm more touch and feel with the general rule of thumb being how many, if I have 5 leagues, how many am I starting this two-star pitcher in? You ready to get into it, Todd?
I am, people see me looking, I'm up. There was a lot of changes since I did my preliminary ranking, so I'm trying to quickly update, but we're ready to go. I can pretend before we, if there's someone I'm not sure about, we're good.
And to be clear, yours will be updated closer to first pitch on Monday, so check back there for a more updated look at next week's two-star start.
Yeah, right now we've got the 3-day or 4-day, well, back to 3-day, in 10-day rankings. We're back on schedule. It's I don't remember what day it is. Yeah, so the regular rankings will go up tomorrow and update it again Sunday night. Hopefully we'll have more clarity because there's not a whole lot of clarity right now. Even for today's games, we got 5. There's still 5 to be determined, so it's going to be fun for our DFS slate if that goes on.
Yeah, kind of an ominous way to kick off the second half. Hopefully it's not a sign of more to come. But starting our two-star pitcher list here is Caleb Smith, and he had a total disaster right before the break. 9 earned runs. I think Jeff Erickson was at that game. It was 22-1, just beat down. And, Caleb Smith only made it an inning, 9 earned runs. So I guess he wasn't – he had a decent run prior to that, but I don't see any way you could trust him after that blow-up.
Well, yeah, he was having some success as a reliever.
Oh, is that it?
And it didn't quite carry over to the starting rotation. Yeah, Jeff said he took his daughter, and he's like, I can't promise you 22 runs every game, so just enjoy this one.
Stark contrast to his June 18th outing against that same Dodgers team. He went 6 innings, only 1 hit over 6 scoreless.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, not a.
To answer the question, no, I can't. I had hopes for him coming into the season, but those have been dashed. So we're going to go with a zero. But he's the kind of a guy where, depending on, you know, next year, maybe he's a late pick, because I do think he has talent.
The matchups are kind of nice. I have him as a zero, but maybe you could justify one, because versus Pitt at the Cubs, who are selling off. We didn't mention it, but Jock Peterson traded last night. Kind of interesting.
You talk me into it with the matchups. That means I still, whether it be.
I'm going to give him a one, too.
It could be confirmation bias, because, like I said, I was kind of high on him a little bit relative to his, high on him in the streaming realm.
I could see in a league where I'm trying to make up ground and kind of throwing anything at the wall in an effort to.
Hopefully we don't take as long with every other pitcher. We'll never get this thing done.
Yeah, we'll try to power through. Zach Gallen, same matchups for him. I'd give Gallen probably like a. Yeah, he's not been very good, but I think I'm still going to give Gallen a four.
He gets a four because, I mean, you got to start him. Yeah. And whether he goes five innings, we don't know if he's going to be able to complete a full five innings, but the talent's still there. He's on a five. I mean, he is a five, but you can't give him a five. So I'll give him a four, and you got to start him. If you held on to him, if you drafted him and held on to him, you got to start him.
Yeah, for Atlanta, Kyle Muller was optioned down, but David O'Brien of The Athletic has confirmed that Kyle Muller will be back in the Braves starting rotation following the All-Star break, so tentatively lined up for Monday against. I could see maybe picking him up and waiting and seeing what happens.
All right, behind the fourth wall here. I lost you halfway through that one.
That's all right.
Tapping on my headphone. So it was Kyle Muller. The matchups are?
Yeah, versus San Diego, then at Philly. I kind of said, I'm hesitant, but I kind of like the skills. So maybe you wait and see and just keep him on your bench. But I know, the old rule, if you're not starting the two-star starter, you drop him. But
more
I think,
often than not.
Yeah,
in most scenarios. So Ryan confirms. All right, so you just kind of reiterated what you said anyway, so people are caught up. I'm with you on that, but, I'm going to go one, but I agree with you more in that if you can pick them up and don't have to start them, it's not a bad stash.
Sorry to those who got that frozen screen. I changed the Wi-Fi network I'm on. I think the connection will be stronger generally, but it seems like the office Wi-Fi is a little spotty right now. Toussaint, any reason to start him? I'm going to give him a zero.
I as well. I have to check what he's been doing in the minors, how long he's been going, but I can't imagine there's any reason to give him a go.
Now, here's a name I really don't know. Spencer Watkins.
Yeah.
Looks like a long trek through the minor leagues. He was in there for like 8 years. Numbers at AAA weren't bad, but it's the Orioles.
He was old for the level.
An unknown for me. So at Tampa Bay, at Washington, or versus Washington, I'm going to have to give him a zero. But
yeah. Yeah, I don't. Sometimes you want to dance with the devil you don't know. I have no interest. The number scouting I did last week, no interest.
How do you feel about Garrett Richards at Toronto, then versus the Yankees?
How do I feel about Garrett Richards? Inventing himself on the fly, and I'm not confident about it. And he's not starting, like you say. He's got two starts next week. He's not scheduled to go this weekend. And with Tanner Houck up, there could be something going on. I don't want to start him. And I don't want to drop him due to the scenario. So I'm hoping I don't have to start him. But I do want to see what ends up happening.
I'm going to give him a one. Is he kind of like a sneaky, well, maybe not so sneaky, but is he like a spin guy who's been maybe affected by the crack?
Oh, absolutely. He's come out and said so. I mean, he's come out and said that, you know, 10 years ago, I don't think he's been loading up with this, you know, spider tack, but he's been doing a little bit. And the curve and the slider are big for him. Yeah. He is just afraid to throw the curveball. He started throwing a 70-mile-an-hour loopy one as opposed to a straight standard curveball. And he kind of invented a changeup on the fly. And it looked good for a game or two, but that's just not a profile you want against Toronto and against the Yankees.
Very true. Yeah, I thought I saw something about that on Twitter. And looking at his game log, it does really – I mean, you can draw a line to the crackdown date. Since June 6th, 31 and two-thirds innings, he has a 7.11 ERA and a 2.05 whip. He's given up 11 hits in two of those outings. So it's been pretty ugly for him since that crackdown. And
they literally, during a couple outings ago, I think we talked about this, I was watching the pitch log pitch by pitch. And they changed his pitch designation mid-game because it was just a new pitch for him. So they were misidentifying it. I've never seen that mid-game where the entire log, the pitch has just changed. So I'm not giving up on him. And who's to say that we don't find out over you know, maybe see what happens over the weekend. And it turns out that Richards opens and Houck comes in. I know we have Houck to start too, but we're not exactly sure what's going on there.
Yeah, good point. Very tentative. So I got Richards as a one, you two, or is it you zero?
I'll go with the one because nowadays you might not be able to. You may have to. My point is, I'm not dropping him yet, and I may be forced to start him. I may not have a ninth pitcher. I may have to start him.
Yeah, that's sometimes the position you're in. Yeah. Now for the Cubs, Alec Mills. I was down this road last season. It was kind of nice early on, then it got real rocky. I kind of looked at him as maybe he could be like a poor man's Kyle Hendricks, his own teammate, but the stuff just isn't that great and kind of open yourself up to some downside. So I look at Mills, and I could see the case, so maybe I'll give him a one at St. Louis versus Arizona. Actually, those matchups, maybe I'll give him a two, but I've been burned, and maybe you should exercise more caution.
Yeah, I'm staying with a one. And, you know, this is narrative. And, you know, I obviously never played the game. I just hear what other people say. If Mills was amid about, like, four other fireballers, maybe he'd be more effective. Because, you know,
good point, yeah.
But, Hendricks, you mentioned the whole – Davies, the whole staff other than Elzele are soft throwers. So there's no day-to-day difference. It's like you're seeing the same guy. Just Hendricks has better command and control, you know, then Davies is slightly worse, and then Mills is a little bit worse than that. So it's like you're seeing the same guy, but just, you know, so I don't know if you get the advantage of, following up against a guy that throws 98.
Yeah, just the opposing hitters just getting that same look over and over again.
Yeah.
Any favors.
And they're still pro hitters. You know, I know that Arizona – I don't know. I don't know about you. I look at Arizona's lineup and I think, man, they should be better. The other hand, I look at my fantasy teams and say, man, they should be better. And I have a lot of Arizona guys. I know. It's just the way in your head, you know, how we all think about the different players. And it just looks to me that the Diamondbacks should have a better offense. But they don't.
Oh, they're brutal, man. They're really bad. I'm a little surprised to see the Cubs wave the white flag so early, but – The Brewers are great. The Reds are pretty good. How about that? And they really don't have much of a chance. So I guess it makes sense.
There's a lot of narrative, a lot of stories going around financially. They should not have to. Do you actually go out? Do you actually trade a Rizzo, a Bryant, a Baez? Sort of these, you know, are fans going to show up to games? And are you really going to make your team better? So, Peterson, I mean, if they're going to go on a run, it wasn't because of Jock Peterson. So, I don't know. And even if they trade Kimbrel, you always figure a way to get a closer. So, even making this deal, I don't think it's kind of white flaggy, but you can still go on a run.
Yeah, I do think Brian will be moved. I think that's pretty obvious. But you never know. Yeah, trading Peterson doesn't take him out of it completely. Jake Arrieta, I like a little less than Mills, actually.
Yeah, another soft tosser, yeah, right?
Another devil I've, you know, danced with before. So I'll give I guess I got to go zero on Arrieta. I can't even do it.
Yeah, you can't even give him any name brand love, right? He's not good.
I think I have him in a few DCs, and I can't plug him in. Just go with a reliever instead. Wade Miley versus the Mets versus St. Louis, a couple home starts. So in Great American Ballpark, but he's been fantastic. So I'm going to give Wade, I think I'm going to give him a complimentary 4. More so a reflection on what he's done to this point, but I also think if you have him, you're trotting him out every week pretty much, and you're happy about it.
Yeah, you know, this is the old, you know, my spreadsheet has him 4. You know, my head, he's a 2. But that's, you know, it's an advantage and disadvantages to using new numbers. Is he a guy that defies regression the rest of the year but stinks next year? I mean, who's to say? Or has he figured something out? I'm with you, though. I mean, actually, the spreadsheet, without doing adjustments, has him at number 18, which is like a 5. But I figure once I finagle innings, he'll be in the 4 range.
I'm sorry, who did you say? Oh, no, Wade Miley. Wade Miley.
Yeah, I'm going to go. Yeah, I'll go 4. But I mean, right now, my first run, I am at 18, which is technically 5. But I have a feeling once I finesse the innings, he'll drop a bit.
I gotcha. Now, you know what I've kind of grown to look forward to this season? A new thing is, you know, our friend Matty Wood, Matthew Davis, his horrible outing alerts. He mentioned how percentage of starts in the NFBC and how bad it is. And JC Mejia got one of those before the break. 6 earned runs over 2 2/3 innings. And, you know, I just can't see it, especially because it's Houston to start. So same with Tristan McKenzie, both 0s.
I like JC Mejia more when he was Gene Carlos.
Yeah, we changed that in the admin.
Yeah, it's been changed. Yeah, he's one of them. Yeah, no. You know, Bernie Pleskov, friend of the site, friend of ours, still, you know, talks. He thinks there's talent there. It just doesn't always manifest right away. So you know, I trust Bernie, and therefore put him on my radar. And not this year, though. Yeah. So you know, McKenzie showed a little something control wise heading into the break. Whether it's actionable right now, you know, him or Richards, I think I go, man, him or Richards. I may actually
go Richards, but
yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's one of those things where what if McKenzie's improved control is real and he is that good? Mm-hmm. So it's that's an interesting comparison. I'm actually going to go 1 McKenzie, 0 Mejia.
All right, I got you down as a 1 for McKenzie. Next up, 2-star pitchers for next week. Well, Colorado only has 5 games.
It's kind of crazy, they need 2-star
starters for them.
Yeah, they've been playing a lot of games lately. They need a break. Tongue in cheek.
Yeah, they really do. Lance Lynn's a 5 versus Minnesota at Milwaukee. So let me just type that into the sheet.
Not the greatest matchups, but that's a 5.
No, yeah, Tariq's. Sorry.
I think maybe you missed it. I think we're required to say the burly Lance Lynn.
Oh, that guy is burly. Is that what his note says?
Well, every time you whatever if it's a home game, away game, I always hear referred to as the burly Lance Lynn. And I, you know, I wish I was burly. You know, I'm burly times 10.
I'm just glad that's not like in his player note on the site. I'd have to go in and edit that if that's how the analysis started. The burly right hander. Tariq Skubal, lefty, been pretty impressed with him. He's versus Texas at KC. 2 nice matchups here. I may bump Skubal to a 4.
Yeah, still prone, you know, as young pitchers are. I don't think he's a rookie anymore. Still prone. Maybe he is from last year. I don't recall. Still prone to some rough outings. Yeah, the matchups are pretty key. I'm going to stay with a 3, but I can see where you're going. To me, the 3 is – he still is prone to some rough outings now and again.
Yeah, that's a more, probably the more level-headed route there.
I think I'm starting him. Yeah, I think I'm starting him, though. I do like what I'm seeing. I like what I'm seeing from a lot of the Detroit pitchers.
I'm also going to give a 4 to Luis Garcia of Houston. James and I have him in the main event. He's been, like, just huge for us. And versus Cleveland, versus Texas. I mean, maybe you can even make a case for 5, but I'm going to go 4.
Yeah, I have 12, number 12 right now, which is a 5. I'll give a hat tip to our friend Perry Van Hook, who kind of turned me on to Garcia in the spring. And so, you know, hat tip to Perry. I don't wear hats. But yeah, and I'm going to go back. You know, I'll go 4, even though I have him in the 5 range now. We'll go 4.
Hey, he's been fantastic. And that Houston team just doesn't slow down. They were not at the All-Star breakout.
Ask Baltimore. I mean, Baltimore owns the Astros.
Yeah, that's baseball for you. It's funny how it works. Kansas City only 5 games, so no 2-star starters for them. And the Angels, it looks like the rare Shohei 2-star week. Great seeing Shohei really take the stage and be the star that he should be. And love that guy. Love watching him. Even with this 2-star, I think James and I, at least, maybe we're going to have a tough decision on our hands, but I'm probably going to lobby to keep him at util, honestly. But at Oakland, at Minnesota, man, that's going to make a tough decision. I guess technically that's like a 5 2-step.
Oh, yeah, it's a 5.
But he's got 33 homers. Like, I don't think I can move him out of the...
A lot of it, you know, is he going to – how many games is he going to bat? You know? Yeah. You know,
that's going to make a really tough call.
And yeah, when he's pitching, do you get the hitting number? You know, depending on your league rules. What if you have him pitching and he doesn't get that second start because all sorts of weird things can happen and, you know, you miss out on that second start? But it's weird that – not so – it's not weird. That's not the word. You know, the fact that he's hitting so well, that's a huge decision. I'm in one league where you would get to make moves Mondays and then again on Fridays for both pitchers and hitters. And I've got Ohtani. So, I mean, like you're talking about with James, there's a lot of weeks if he's got to start, I say the heck with it. It's a four-game week, whatever, Monday through Thursday. I want his bat in there for 4 games. I don't care about the start against Seattle or whatever. It also helps because you can make pitching changes like that, that you don't need it as much because you can use relievers, et cetera. But you're right, though. What a display. I wasn't watching it. I was driving at the time. But the announcers just describing after trying to catch up and take the home lead in the home run derby, just bent over at the knees and just gasping for air. Mm-hmm. I didn't see it. But the announcer's like, he's done. He's cooked. There's just no way. And sure enough, again, I didn't see it. But Juan Soto just knocking 3 out on 3 pitches, or maybe 4 pitches. But
I love that guy.
3 yeah. swings, absolutely. And then just Ohtani just grounding out, and it was over. But good for him.
Yeah, the game's in a great spot in terms of young star power. I just pray to God we don't have a stoppage next year. That would do so much damage because the game really does seem to be taken off a little bit in terms of popularity, and Shohei has a big part in that. Mm-hmm. Clayton Kershaw, very tentatively, I'm going to give him a 5. He resumed throwing last weekend, but we just don't know what if he's going to be back because he's done with that forearm issue, inflammation. Doesn't sound like a long-term issue, but very much up in the air. But, you know, if he starts versus San Francisco versus Colorado, and you can time and get the Rockies on the road.
Right now he's listed as number 1 overall. But what if he comes back Wednesday and it's just the 1 start? You know, but so tentatively I'm going to have him as a 5 top overall. And we say top row, we're like, really? Keep in mind that a lot of the aces are going over the weekend, so they're not in a 2-start realm next week.
Yeah, good point. Tony Gonsolin, I'm going to give a 4. Maybe you could go 5 given the matchups, but San Francisco isn't a pushover anymore.
They lead the league in homers.
That's understating it. Ian Gonsolin not working very deep yet. I'm trying to see exactly how. I guess he's gone 5 1/3 in an outing pretty recently. So, yeah, he's pretty well stretched out. Only 4 innings in his last start before the break. But I'll give Gonsolin a 4.
I've got him at 20, which is, you know, the last number five if I'm going there. So, I mean, he's in that 4-5 cusp. We'll give him a 4, but, you know, you're starting him.
Yeah, Sean Morimondo, I'm going to have to remove from the grid right this second because he was outrighted just the other day. Well, so let me take a look who that could be. I mean, they could always add him back to the 40 man, but not usually what happens. Oh, man, they're in rough shape with that rotation. And they got a doubleheader. Is that today they got a doubleheader? I guess so. Any guesses who might start? I'm trying to see here. Maybe Braxton Garrett, if he's healthy. I'm sorry. I'm just a little behind the fourth wall, but I just don't think it's going to be Morimondo. So
probably not. Yeah, it's at this point. There's so many teams that have.
I'm going to plug in Braxton Garrett because he's on the 40 man. He was optioned.
Yeah, we haven't mentioned a team just so people realize we're talking about Marlins. Yeah. True. Yeah, I mean, I'm not even sure they know. I think they've announced Alcantara, but they haven't even announced what's going on over the weekend after that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's true. Zach Thompson, maybe.
Yeah, so depending on how they line things up. Now, normally, when this occurs, you're waiting to see if your all-star pitcher can recover or, God forbid, you know, a COVID guy or something. So why Miami hasn't mentioned something yet? I mean, you know, could they be bringing up Edwin Cabrera? I mean, you know, I mean, what's the holdup, if you will? I don't think it'll be too long before we see Cabrera. He's been crushing it on the farm.
Yeah, definitely got to keep an eye on. I know James is pretty high on him. And, yeah, it looks like, looking at the Marlins official page, looks like nobody's confirmed for this weekend. So even Alcantara and Lopez, the ordering up in the air. But those guys should take the ball this weekend.
Hey, Mish, if you're watching on Facebook, who's going to pitch? maybe Craig's probably not watching.
He gets enough of those questions. But I'm just going to leave the Marlins off just because I don't know. Again, I just plugged Braxton Garrett into the grid, but total guess. So I'm just going to leave them off if that's all the same to you, Todd.
Works for me.
Brewers only 5 games, so no 2-star starters for them. Hopefully the Reds can set them a little further back.
That's going to be a fun series, isn't it?
Yeah.
Good pitching against good pitching. I think that's going to be an interesting – I'm not – you know, you're going to hear the narrative, must win, you know, can whatever. I think that's going to be a fun – everybody's talking Sox, Yankees. Brewers-Reds out of the break. That's going to be a blast.
Yeah, I had a blast. I guess it was last Saturday at the game. Jenny Butler was kind enough to invite me to the game with her significant other, Eric. It was Eric's birthday, too. We had fun, you know. Just I hadn't been to the park in a while, actually almost 2 years. So it was great and great seats. So thank you to Jenny Butler. Now, for Minnesota, a couple 2-star starters for them. Michael Pineda and then Jose Berríos, assuming Berríos is still on the team. Now Pineda's been a little shaky, but I'll probably give him a 2. I guess Pineda 2, Berríos a 4.
Yeah, Pineda won the 1 range. Not the easiest matchups. I'm gonna stay with I'm gonna go to a 2, and then Berríos. Oh man, he's one of those guys that I really like, but is it take to me? He's a 5. And I have.
You think somebody's going to be able to? Yeah, I think somebody's going to be able to pry him away from the Twins.
Are the Twins in a rebuild, or are they just a rejuvenate? You know,
restock type of deal.
You know, yeah, or just it's a bad year. Let's just refresh, hit reload, and go next year. But then if you're the Twins, if you can get a really good young starter and some other pieces, maybe you trade Berríos. But otherwise, I think you just knock on wood because you still have some good pieces for next year.
So you're giving Berríos a 5, did you say?
I'm going to give him a 5, but it's more of a consistency mark as opposed to a great pitcher.
I hear you. Now, Tyler McGill of the Mets, he's got the Reds at Cincinnati, then versus Toronto. Pretty nice start for McGill. Kind of tough matchups, but I'll probably give him a 3.
Exactly. Yep.
Tyler McGill, 3. Okay. Continuing on, getting near the end here for the Yankees, Jameson Taillon. Yankees are a mess, and who knows what's going to happen with them. Versus Philly at Boston, tentatively. I'll give Taillon a – he has been pretty bad, but I'll probably give him a 3.
I'm going 2.
Okay. You're pretty much done with Taillon, it sounds like. Justifiable.
Rooting for him as much as a Red Sox fan can. As a baseball fan, I'm still rooting for him. But I think these are tough matchups.
Now, James Caprillion's been one of the sneaky, kind of under-the-radar stories of the season. 11 starts, 290 ERA, 1-1-1 whip. And I'm surprised by the length he's provided. He's gone at least 6 in, like, 4 of his last 5 starts, and he's gone at least 5 in every start dating back to June 6th. So surprised that he's been able to cut it loose given his injury history, and glad to see it. I'll probably give him versus the Angels at Seattle.
Do it.
I think Caprillion's a 4.
I am a 5.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah, number 6 overall. There's not a whole lot of luck going on there. I mean, he's striking batters out, going deep into games, and these are two winnable matchups.
I like the Stones there. That's a bold call, and I think he deserves it. I'm going to stick with 4, but I got you down as a 5 for James Caprillion. Aaron Nola's a 5 still, right?
Yep. I know he's struggling, but I'm going to go 5.
Yeah, he's not been very good, but and he got at the Yankees versus Atlanta, but
a little bad luck in there, but he's still pitching fairly well.
Pirates kind of in flux, so we currently don't have any 2-start starters projected for them. For San Diego, Yu Darvish, assuming he's back, I think that's the assumption, right? That even though he's on the IL with left hip inflammation, that he will start their 4th game of the second half. Yep. I guess that's the first game he's eligible, but that
right, that's a 5.
Given the move, that makes sense. All right, let me get Darvish down. Then who's this other guy taking the ball for San Diego? Kinnear? Nair?
Yeah, Reese?
Nair. K-N-E-H-R. Don't know anything about this guy. Yeah,
decent numbers in the farm. Don't hate the matchups, but it's a 0 for me because I can't do it.
Yeah. Never heard that name, which is – I mean, sometimes that happens, but usually I've at least heard of the player before.
Yeah.
Next up here, let me continue on. Marco Gonzalez has got to go to Coors. And then he's versus Oakland. But I think that Coors start probably knocks him down to 2. By the way, I just seeing breaking news right now. Yankees and Red Sox prepare to play on Friday. So we will play today is the quote. So that's good news.
Yep.
Gonzalez, I'm probably going to give like a 2.
I'm giving him maybe 1.
I'm going to probably have to start him in some league, like a draft champions, but don't want to. Okay. Alex Wood, Logan Webb, they got the Dodgers on the road to start, but then versus Pitt, that's excellent. So Alex Wood, I'm going to probably give – probably going to give Alex Wood a 4 and then Logan Webb a 2.
I got you. I'm with you.
All right. Nice. Got those marked. Next up, the St. Louis Cardinals. So, Johan Oviedo, Jake Woodford versus the Cubs at Cincy. I don't think I can see starting either of these guys.
No.
All right. Let me just continue on here. Make sure we get them. Jake Woodford. Exciting stuff. Also, I just saw a note, too. I have the Twitter feed. Apparently, Chad Kuhl is going to be starting today for the Pirates.
Okay.
So that's just a little note. Ryan Yarbrough, Shane McClanahan versus Boston at Cleveland. Love those matchups. I think McClanahan I'm probably going to give a 4. Yarbrough, I'm trying not to discriminate.
Wait, you love the Boston matchup?
Well, he doesn't have Boston.
Oh, I thought you said Boston. I'm sorry.
I probably did, but I meant Baltimore versus Baltimore at Cleveland. So I'm actually going to give Yarbrough and McClanahan both fours.
I'm going to go four Yarbrough, three McClanahan. I like the talent, but McClanahan, he's still too inconsistent.
Yeah, he has been a little inconsistent. Do love the skills. Kyle Gibson at Detroit, at Houston. Houston's pretty scary, but, man, Kyle Gibson's been so good this year, shockingly. I'll probably give him a four.
Yep, four.
And what about Dane Dunning? Is that it is Dane Dunning at Detroit, at Houston.
Two.
Yeah, I think I'm going to give him a one. Actually, no, I'll go two, because that Detroit matchup's just too juicy. Finally, wrapping up with the final two teams here, Alek Manoah versus Boston at the Mets. Love at Mets, and I think he had a few bumps in the road, but I think he's pretty much doing what we all expected.
Oh, yeah.
I think I'm going to go five.
I'll go four, but I agree.
I think you probably have to start him. And then finally, we have Joe Ross for Washington versus Miami at Baltimore. I like that for Joe Ross. I think I only have him in like an NL only. Maybe look to rectify that, add him a few more spots this weekend. I think I'm going to go three for Joe Ross.
I'm going to go three, but I almost went four, and I may actually, but I'll go three, but he's been pitching really well.
Nice. Well, anything else on your mind, Todd, before we recap these and close things out today?
No, we're good. And you know what? I have to, my landlord's at the back door. Can you recap them? And I will sign off and we'll talk next time.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir, Todd. Thank you for all the insight. Take care, man.
Yep.
I'm just going to go ahead and remove Todd. And I will recap these and sign off here on the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast. So two starters for the week of July 19th, 2021. Caleb Smith, 1. Zach Gallen, 4. Kyle Muller, 2. Tuki Toussaint, 0. Spencer Watkins, 0. Garrett Richards, 1. Alek Mills, 2. Todd says 1. Jake Arrieta, 0. Wade Miley, 4. JC Mejia, 0. Tristan McKenzie, I say 0, but Todd, 1. Lance Lynn, 5. Tariq Skubal, I say 4. Todd, 3. Luis Garcia, 4. Shohei Ohtani, 5, although there's a possibility that two-stepper is the following week, so keep an eye on that. Clayton Kershaw, tentative 5, coming back from his injury. Tony Gonsolin, 4. Michael Pineda, 2. Jose Berrios, I say 4. Todd, 5. Tyler McGill, 3. Jameson Taillon, I say 3. Todd, 2. James Kaprielian, I say 4. Todd, 5. Aaron Nola, 5. Yu Darvish, 5. Reese Nair, 0. Marco Gonzalez, I say 2. Todd, 1. Alex Wood, 4. Logan Webb, 2. Johan Oviedo, 0. Jake Woodford, 0. Ryan Yarbrough, 4. Shane McClanahan, I say 4. Todd, 3. Kyle Gibson, 4. Dane Dunning, 2. Alek Manoah, I say 5. Todd, 4. Joe Ross, 3. So that'll do it for the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast, sponsored by WinBet. Have a good weekend, and we'll be back with the full schedule of pods next week, beginning with Jeff and Scott on the Sunday night / Monday morning pod. Take care, guys. Catch you next time on the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast, sponsored by WinBet.
Try RotoWire today, free for 10 days. Get our premium tools, rankings, analysis, and breaking news alerts. No credit card required. Go to rotowire.com/try.